Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 2nd October 2022, Sunday class, where we're continuing our sharing from this book, the 54th lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. This transcript book was delivered on the 13th August 2017. But we printed it on the 30th of November 2017. We are at page 59. As usual, we will compose our mind, develop the Sada Virya, then mindfully we shall develop the Puja chanting first. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Kwansiin Pusa. Namo Kwansiin Pusa. Namo Kwansiin Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Pusyan Pusa. Namo Pusyan Pusa. Namo Pusyan Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supadipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghaṃ Namāmi. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ Saraṇaṃ Gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ Saraṇaṃ Gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ Saraṇaṃ Gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ Saraṇaṃ Gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ Saraṇaṃ Gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ Saraṇaṃ Gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ Saraṇaṃ Gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ Saraṇaṃ Gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ Saraṇaṃ Gacchāmi. Pānāti pātā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Adinadana viramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācāra viramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Mūsāvādā viramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sūrā mērāyā majjhā pamādatthāna viramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhaṃ pujami. Dhammaṃ pujami. Sanghaṃ pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. Yes, relax body and mind and maintain some proper attention. Then we will learn the basics of the chanting book. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti beso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vija charana sampanno sugato loka vidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pajyatang Veditapo Venohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Uyupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samijipatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yadidang chattari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sango Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo Anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyang ketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. And we shall continue from page 59 of this 54th lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. Okay, there is a question by Sister Wendy. Until I want to explain what I had experienced. The experience happened during my sleep. The consciousness understands that the body is just the body. The mind say, I want to do something. So from that time onward, I understand that whenever the mind say, I want to do something, that is the mundane mind. And I reply, I say, yes. That's the mundane mind, the thought. That's the reason why I always advise Kayamita, they are saying, you have to be ever mindful, it's because of that. Whenever this thought arises and tell you things, you have to be mindful. So what is thought? Basically, thought is sankhara, right? Then what is sankhara? Sankhara is a Pali word. Why did the Buddha say sabbe sankhara anicchang, sabbe sankhara dukkhang, and finally sabbe dhamma anatta? If you have contemplated on this, then straight away this wisdom or understanding, which is yonisomanasikara, they will arise, just like what Sister Ingby went through the last time. At that moment of sense experience, you just know that these are sankhara. Then the deeper aspect is like what Alicia has gone through. These are all negative thought or wrong thought that condition her suffering, her sorrow, her misery, her lamentation, her fear, her phobia, her insecurity and unhappiness, etc. All these are wrong thoughts that are unfit for attention. And you are supposed to abandon them. If you are aware and you have paid attention at the moment of sense experience, then what happened? Means you understand that the unarisen mental hindrance will arise and proliferate. The arisen mental activity will become more intense. That's why these are things that are unfit for attention. So don't pay attention to all these wrong thoughts, which are unfit for attention. These are taught by the Buddha in the Sabba Asavak Sutta. Asavak means defilement, means all of the defilements, Sutta. Before we go on to the things that are fit for attention, we need to dwell into that part, which is the wrong thought. I always define wrong thought as thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation. So all this negativity of mind state. And they have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why mindfulness is very important. The sensitivity of mindfulness is very important. Whenever you have this negativity of mind state, means you are not peaceful, not happy. Your mind state has been conditioned into negativity. These are signs that will allow you to detect that the wrong thoughts are there. Because you are sensitive and you know the lack of peace, the lack of happiness, joy, means you are entangled with something. Wrong thought has arisen. And what are wrong thought? Thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Basically, these are all wrong thought. So when there is greed, there is possessiveness, there is covetousness, there is craving, there is desire. That's why it will condition you into aggressiveness, into violence and all those things, selfishness. Then the evil roots of anger, hatred can also give rise to the wrong thought that has envy and jealousy, or intense dislike, leading to hatred. And when things don't go your way, when you lack understanding, there is doubt in you, there is fear in you, there is worry in you, and you feel insecure. So all these are wrong thoughts, born of the errors of greed, hatred, and delusion. So don't dwell on them because they are unfit for attention. The moment you pay attention, you create the cocoon of wrong thought that leads to all the negativity of mind state that condition your suffering. That's why for cultivators of the way like Ng Bee, yeah, and also Alicia Leon, they understand all this. Where they have been through, they have seen them. Then they know these are all wrong thoughts. Thoughts that are unfit for attention. Why you go and worry about what people say? People's comment, people's jealousy, hatred. Yeah. All these are sankara activity. They give rise to negativity of mind state because of their delusion, sakadity, self-delusion. Their lack of wisdom, dhamma understanding. So when you continue to dwell on worldly activity, that does not give rise to harmony, understanding, love, and peace, that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then these are all wrong thoughts, and they are unfit for attention. Always remember that, especially the wrong speech. What are the wrong speech? Backbiting, frivolous talk, all the sweet nothing, and also what they call the harsh speech and all those things, the angry, violent, abusive. All these are wrong thought or wrong speech that were conditioned, wrong thought. That's why Noble Eightfold Path have right view leading to right thought. And right thought will condition right speech and right action. Wrong action are the action that will lead to karmic negativity, like killing, causing harm to the living being. Yeah. And wrong speech are of course telling lies, deceiving people, taking advantage of people, your cunningness, yeah, your deceitfulness, and all these things. Then when it comes to action, there are also further two more. Sexual misconduct. And the last one is, of course, partaking intoxicant, drugs, liquor, whatever intoxicant that will make your consciousness dull, yeah, and make you heedless. So all this, when you go into it, you start to understand, and then you start to recognize what constitutes wrong thought. And these are thoughts that are unfit for attention, because it conditions your suffering, your misery, your negativity of mind state, your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lament. So understand this clearly, so that whenever you live life, then you are not peaceful, the lack of peace and lack of joy and happiness. It means the wrong thoughts are there, the evil roots are there. So if you can recognize this, then you know these wrong thoughts need to be abandoned because they are thoughts that are unfit for attention. Okay, so I finish this part first. Yeah? Then I go into the second part now. Yeah? We go back to the sharing. So now the next part is things that are fit for attention. What are they? They pertain to the Four Noble Truths, the essential Dhamma of the Buddha. So it's very simple, isn't it? One only need to constantly aware and check. What are you paying attention to from moment to moment? Is it something that is unfit for attention, like creating division or Theravada and Mahayana tradition? Why must you go and think these wrong thoughts, which are unfit for attention? For it doesn't lead to Dhamma understanding and harmony, and it only leads to one. Yes, trying to be right, creating division, creating more argument and misunderstanding. So why want to dwell on all this activity that are unfit for attention, which has nothing to do with the teaching? That's why when we come to things that are fit for attention, it means the Four Noble Truths, the Essential Dhamma of the Buddha and other things. That's why constantly listening to the true Dhamma is the condition for you to arise the right thought, leading to right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And these are the things that are fit for attention. That's why when you constantly listen to the Dhamma, the true Dhamma, then you constantly reflect and contemplate on them. You are actually dwelling on Dhamma, which are fit for attention. Then you start to understand the essence of the Buddha's teaching, the Four Noble Truths and its three turning, and all the essential Dhamma that spin off from there. So this is what you're supposed to do as a cultivator. Step one of Abhijja Sutta is to have Dhamma friends. Then step two is what? Having opportunity time to listen to the true Dhamma. That's why for people who understand like who wrong they are, they never miss Dhamma session. They make it an effort all out to attend. Or they attend the Zoom session and all things. And for Huirong, she make it a point that the Tuesday class she will attend unless something really keep her away. Like the recent trip to Germany where he visited the son together with the husband. Apart from that, most of the time she will attend. So immediately after the MCO, when the physical class starts, she has been attending until today. Okay, then I will read on so that you can understand. Of course, you can argue with me. We are saying, hey, brother, Theravada and Mahayana Buddhist teaching are so different. Why you say nothing to do with me? What I meant is it has nothing to do with the real Dhamma. Do you think the Buddha created Theravada and Mahayana? Theravada, Mahayana, and Vajrayana come after a few hundred years later after the Buddha passed away. It's created by living being. He only taught the Dhamma, which is the truth. So this is a very important understanding. Mindy sharing is very good. When she has the faith, she just do. I remember 1 or 2 years ago, when she first came to our Sunday class, she just did the meditation according to the instruction in the recordings that I spoke on. Because she has faith and she just do. Then she was able to realize the silent mind. For this teaching is the reverse of what she did earlier on. What she did earlier on was thought-based meditation involving energy field. She, in the past, must have done this type of energy field and concentration or some other type of meditation. That's why she can see and experience all those things this time. Then she cried and determined not to go the wrong way anymore because she has been looking for this teaching for a long time already. This could have happened before, during the previous sasana. This life, there is condition, and her nature recall that it comes out. Then she was able to go in via the silent mind because the faith was there, and also because this teaching develops the awareness, not concentration or samatha. She then said, when she was silent, the nature understands that the body is just the body. Not via the thought telling her anymore. Then later on, the thought comes out. The thought say, I must meditate like that. I must do this. I must try this. These are all from the thought. So if you are really clear about the teaching, the focus is, what am I doing in the name of meditation? First, inquiry is, am I training my mind to be aware? If you are not, you are out of focus. If my mind is already trained, aware, can I stabilize it and use it to cultivate the noble eightfold path so that I am heedful in the midst of life? So these are the steps or inquiry that cultivator must develop. That's your focus. But initially, if you can't even develop the sati or mindfulness, you can train it because the mental hindrance are too strong. Oh, sorry. You cannot train it because the mental hindrance are too strong. So what must you do when the mental hindrance are too strong? You must cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. Are you doing it? Do you know how to do it? So I explain further. Is it through the puja, the chanting, the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, understand what the triple gems are? Then Dhammapada verses on the taking of refuge states that it's only in the three triple gems that one can find refuge safe. There is no other refuge safe other than the triple gem, because only in the triple gem you can find this Dhamma, this teaching. So all this, you have to develop the understanding. Then only your meditation can progress. If you don't do all these checks and you are not clear about the teaching, then you will not be able to develop the cultivation. You cannot cultivate something that you have not developed the understanding. It means you do not know what you are doing in the name of meditation. People ask you to know. You gullibly know. People ask you to focus. You gullibly focus. People say this method, this technique, you just do without understanding. Then you cannot progress. So the inquiry or inquiry based on understanding is very important. Are my spiritual faculties developed? If they are there, the mental hindrance cannot arise. So I have to focus on the spiritual faculty. The first two spiritual faculty of sadha and virya are very easy, like what I shared with you all before. You have to understand clearly who the Buddha is and how wise and virtuous a being he is. He is not only virtuous and wise. He is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born, because he had cultivated over a long period of time, eons and eons. Then he developed the perfection and wisdom, the perfection of wisdom and virtue, the 10 perfection to become a Sammasambuddha. Means he's not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened. To have such a being to be your teacher, you should count your blessing, express your gratitude and deep respect for the Buddha. Then what are you waiting for? Also, because of his long cultivation and perfection, he was able to summarize all of his understanding, his teaching, the Dhamma, into just four noble truths, which are the essence of his teaching, which is so beautiful, so complete, that it can let you understand the secret of life, both the mundane and the supramundane aspect. Then this will drive you to cultivate, leading to the enlightenment, liberation from birth and death, hence no more suffering. Then what are you waiting for? So that faith will drive you to cultivate. That's how your virya, spiritual zeal, spiritual tenacity comes about or can arise. Then when your virya and sadha become unshakable, you will listen attentively to the true Dhamma, to understand his teaching. The virya of spiritual zeal will drive you to cultivate the sati, leading to the stability of it, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, leading to heedfulness in daily life. If you do all this, the Buddha, via his Dhammapada verse 21 and 23, guarantees you enlightenment in the here and the now, where he said, the heedful never dies. Heedfulness is the path to the depthless. Hence, you only need to train your mind to be heedful. Is it that difficult? It is not difficult, is it? I already shared with you. It's easier than learning how to ride a bicycle. Learning to ride a bicycle, you can keep on falling and you can hurt yourself. This one, the most that can happen to you is you fail, but you won't hurt yourself. It could mean not enough virya when doing it. By learning to ride the bicycle, every time you fall, come up and try again. Fall down, come up again. Then as you are able to have the one stroke of balancing, the first stroke, when you cycle and you can be on the bicycle, balance only for a while, then you put your other leg down. That will give you the confidence. Wow, at least I can balance a little bit already. If I continue, I can make it. I remember how I learned to ride the bicycle. One morning, I tried doing it. By midday, I could already cycle. Not good at balancing yet, but at least the first 2 hours was miserable. I kept on falling because the bicycle was so big. The one with the center bar, the four-head-down one. Not the lady's bike. Then I had to use my hand, grab onto the handle. One other hand hold this bar. And one leg between the center bar. Because that time I was very small size. I used the leg to cycle. Then when I fall, I was trapped underneath the bicycle because I was so small size. But I was determined to learn because I wanted to understand how it was like to ride a bicycle. I wanted to learn to ride a bicycle to go to school. My school was 4 kilometers away. I could cycle every day. So that virya drives me or drove me, inspired me and gave me the willpower to succeed. That's why you must have that virya to drive you on and with heedfulness, then you will make it. It's not difficult. So training yourself to be mindful by riding a bicycle initially, maybe you find it difficult. You cannot do it. Then after a while, you start to feel that you can. At least one cycle, then balance, fall again, come up again. Then as you try, you become better and better on the balancing. Then when you can ride for about 10 feet, I can tell you, that was my greatest joy. Then I break and felt the joy. It's just like mindfulness. When you cultivate until the mindfulness comes, your form of mind will know it's just like riding a bicycle. You cannot lie, isn't it? If every time you have to put your foot down, it means you still cannot balance a bicycle. But if you can cycle until you don't need to put your foot down because you can balance on the bicycle, it means you have developed the skill and the understanding. But you are not skillful yet. So you should continue to train. If every day I train, I will learn very fast. Then I say, well, already 5:30. Maybe no need to have the meditation today. Okay. Yeah. So that was that session. Just to summarize. So heedfulness is not difficult. Easier than learning how to ride a bicycle. So remember that. First, develop the 5 spiritual faculties. After that, you just relax and sit. Then very easy to meditate. Without the mental hindrance, the mind will settle down, become quiet straight away. Then what you need to do is, you can just use any object of meditation that you are familiar with to stabilize. Even when you lie down, the thought may still arise. Let it arise. After a while, it will slow down and cease because you don't give it any more thought or mental energy. to continue the mental proliferation or thinking. When you understand that the untrained mind is heedless, thinks a lot, you will not try to resist, suppress, and control the thought. But instead, you just let it be. Then it will cease by itself. It will return to its original state. No, no, don't move the cursor. Okay, I'll try to get back to the place. Okay, I read from here on. Don't try to resist, suppress, and control the thought. Sorry, don't try to resist, suppress, and control the thought. But instead, you just let it be. Then it will cease by itself. It will return to its original state, which is the quietness. Because the original state of mind before the stirring is stillness, silent, and aware. So just let the mind go back to its original state or natural state. That's it. No need to do anything. Like one of the ladies just now mentioned, no need to do anything. The other important understanding is don't try to know. That's why every time I share with you all, don't try to do and don't try to know. That is the meaning. Which means you don't keep the thought active again. You have tried so hard to develop the awareness-based meditation. Then the moment you try to know or try to do, who is trying to know? Who is trying to do? The thought. You make it active again. The moment you do that, it becomes thought-based meditation again. It's no longer awareness-based meditation. So this understanding is very important. That's why I say the four support, the first three especially. Relax into every mind state that arises. It relax into body and mind. Whatever tension, stress within, or tightness, just relax into it. Feel yourself at ease. Relax. Then silence your mind. Maintain awareness. The third support is maintain awareness for as long as you can. So these are the awareness-based meditation, the first three support, which are very useful. That way you can just let things be silent, relax, maintain awareness, and stabilize the awareness nature. That will lead to progress, and you can do it very easy, not difficult. Okay, then we go back to the notes. That's why you must have faith, sadha, and virya. Then sati will arise. And when sati takes over, if you don't create likes and dislikes, which are the sensual desire and ill will, mental hindrance, the first two mental hindrance, or label it as pain, etc., your meditation will progress very fast. Then you become very quiet, very still. Continue to allow the stillness, the quietness to develop. Then later on, even your object of meditation or skillful means that you use to initially anchor your mind, you also don't need them anymore. The mind will become very subtle and there is no more movement. Then during that time, your mind will enter sati. Your mind can only enter sati when it has become very quiet, very still. Yeah. Means very subtle. No more activity, no more movement. Then the mind that is in sati will enter sati. Which means it has become more refined. Then the mind that is more refined gives rise to the stability of sati. Then when you come out of the formal meditation, your form and mind will know you are completely different already. Then every action, every movement, like, hey, the mindfulness is with you. Everything like slow down and like magnify. Even in your formal meditation while sitting, the slightest movement like your subtle breathing will come back to you. That anywhere you locate or maintain attention, with your awareness during that time, you will become very sensitive. The awareness will pick it up. Then you can feel your own heartbeat without the need of a stethoscope. You can also feel your own vibration in any part of your body, even in your brain. That is the real sati, the real cultivation. And it can be done. It's not difficult, especially during this sasana. If you have faith, all this can come about. Okay? I think it's enough for today. If you listen to this recording, it's going to help you. It's beautiful. So we should go on with the sutta. We can rejoice. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, then I will continue. Huh? So the sixth patriarch platform sutta, I think commentary is by Master Shen Hua. At that time we were at page 273. So I say this one is important. The one important matter is the knowledge and vision of the Buddha. Worldly people, deluded by the external world, attach themselves to monks. Just like what I explained earlier on, the monk of a cell cultivating, the monk of others, and the monk of light, the monk of the phenomenal world, and deluded by the inner world. With your mundane mind, your mental activity, your sankhara, your verbalization, your chattering, and your thought process. Then they attach themselves to emptiness. This is attachment to Dhamma. They have a concept of emptiness. Emptiness is to be realized through an awakening. It's not a concept or an idea. Then the actual advice according to Huineng is you can live among monks and yet be separated from it. Then you will be confused by neither the internal nor the external, which means the external and the internal will no longer delude you, deceive you, and condition you into negativity of mind state and heedlessness. Do you know the difference between internal and external? Internal means what? Yes, all your... Sorry, external means what? Yes, all your external sense object. That's the reason why I always want you to ask. I always want to ask you, sorry. How do you know the world? And how do you interact with the world? You know the world through your senses, isn't it? Upon contact, you become conscious of the world, conscious of what you see, conscious of what you hear. They call it sight and sound. Then you can be conscious of what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. These are the external world. That's why the external world is a phenomenal world of consciousness, mind, mega, day. They are dependent originating, condition arising. Not real. Because mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is cheap. When mind arises, everything arises. So we choose to take care of mind. That is very important. That is a very important understanding in Dhamma cultivation. These are the pointers that you must have. Then internal means your mental world. There is no more external phenomenal world for you to perceive. Your internal world is your own views, your own opinions, your own chattering, your own verbalization, your own anger, hatred, remorse, unhappiness, insecurity, phobia, etc. Of course, if you know how to train your mind, develop the ability to be mindful, peaceful, to be aware, then you get to experience all the good mind states, which are the tranquilities of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind. All these are possible when you have the understanding, when you have trained this mind. You will come to understand without the thought, the true mind is naturally there, and it's so beautiful. That's why we don't need to do anything. We only need to allow the mind to be, means the mundane mind to settle down. Like the Buddha's analogy when he asked the monk to collect the water for him. Every time you stir the water, you are not going to collect any clear water. When will the water be clear? When nobody crosses the pool of water, when there is no pool of cut to stir or churn the water, then it will return to its original state of clarity and stillness. Your mind is the same. The ripples, the wave, the movement, all that you see on the surface of the lake, when you compare it to the rough sea, it is relatively calmer, isn't it? Human beings who are deluded or heedless, their mind are like the rough sea because they got a lot of anger, hatred, like very stormy, it's like that. Violence. What is a rough sea? A lot of wind, a lot of wave. Then sometimes thunder, sometimes storm. Then before the storm comes, there is a calm that comes before the storm. But if you have trained your mind, most of the time it's like a lake. It's quiet and still most of the time, with little or no movement. There are only maybe ripples when branches fall into it, or when people throw a stone into it. You will see the ripples spreading. Then the surface movement is like your surface mind, or what the Buddha called it, the conscious mind. Then J. Krishnamurti called it the superficial, then the outer layer. You still have activity, sometimes a little bit of wind, but it won't create wave. A lake is like, a lake is a lake unless there is a monsoon or hurricane or whatever. Otherwise, it's relatively still. Then deep down, at the deeper part of the lake, there is completely no ripple or movement. That is like your true mind. At a deeper level, there is no movement at all. Whereas the stirring, the ripple movement, etc., they are conditioned arising activity like your mundane mind. But when you meditate, as you straighten your view, you have less ignorant or avijja, then you will create less sankara activity, means you think less. You will get less ripple, less surface movement. Then this mind is like the lake, become very quiet on its own. Then you develop the stability of it until you are most of the time at the lower depth of the lake. No movement at all, just still and silent, just stillness and silence. Then it can be aware of all the things within the lake. In a similar way, your true mind works the same. When the surface vibration, the conscious part become quiet, then you will return to your original state of stillness before the stirring. You leave the water as it is, it will become clearer. All the sediment will settle down. The true mind is the same. When all the thinking activity of mind, sankara reaction, stirring, etc., when they all settle down on its own, because you don't give it any more negative energy, delusion, thought energy, etc., then it will cease to be. Then it will settle down. The reason being, these are dependent originating or condition arising phenomena. Just like what J. Krishnamurti say. How can the flower flowers? It will continue to flower because it has not finished blooming. But Jaya Krishnamurti said that very flowering of that thought is the very ending of that thought. That is most beautiful. So you just let it flower until it cannot flower. Then what happens? No more supportive karma, no more thought energy or supporting energy to flower anymore. So once it finishes the full flowering, what will happen? It will wither. Then it's gone, isn't it? Huh. Your thought is the same. When it thinks until it is fully flowered, no more thought energy to support it, no more delusion, avijja, to support it, then what happened? It will cease to be like the flower, wither. We have to see it in our meditation. That's why you have to find out, is anger really you? When there is anger, when there is fear, when there is phobia, when there is this negativity of mind state or agitation, stirring of mind, you just silence everything and stay with that mental state. That is the best way to find out. Because I broke free during the early days through mindfulness from that moment of realization. Then suddenly I realized within less than 1 minute, the agitated mind state, the unhappy mind state, the stirring that brought forth the emotion, they just slow down and dissipate. Then I don't do anything. Then all of a sudden I felt at the heart there completely still, empty, peaceful. Then there is this understanding. No wonder the Buddha say all these are not me. Because anger is never you. Fear is never you. All the various mind states, they are never you. So the mental states, the emotion, the anger, the fear, the hatred, and the envy, and the jealousy, they are all dependent originating, condition arising, not you. So through wrong view, we stir and it become what it is. Then if you allow it to be without feeding it with any more wrong view or thought energy, then it just dissipates and cease. That's why I can understand what J. Krishnamurti meant when he said, the very flowering of that emotion or thought is the very ending of that thought. It ends, it ceases. You have to realize that cessation. Then you can realize your true mind. When you can allow it to be, it will stabilize. Then you can reflect and contemplate on what happened after you come out of the meditation. It will be very beautiful because you will have so much joy immediately after you experience that cessation. Then you will come to realize the mundane mind is not what you think. It's not what... Sorry, I read again. Huh? Then you will come to realize the mundane mind is not what you think. It's not you. Exactly like what the Buddha taught. And that is the awakening after you have silenced your mind and stay with it to witness it ceasing. It's not a theory anymore. You witness it through your own inner awareness. Then you realize that these are all dependent originating mind state. And this is what Sankara is all about. That's why Sankara Anicca. It comes and it goes, arise and pass away. It's dependent originating, condition arising. Without condition, it doesn't arise. What are the conditions for its arising? You have to trace the origination factor. How come every time you react and become emotional, angry, and unhappy? It is because of your wrong view. You perceive that person with negativity. And you want things your way. These are attachment, craving, clinging, born of wrong view. Because you fail to see things as they are. And you fail to understand living beings for what they are. Basically, is you want things your way, which is not nature's way. If you continue to cultivate this way, you will progress very fast. Then all of a sudden, one day, things will become so clear and your mind become different. No more wrong view, no more delusion. The phenomenon will cease to have any effect on you. Then you can just be at peace, happy. Have this inner peace and clarity of mind. Then most of the time, you are just aware. That's how heedfulness come about. Then all of the teaching like become very clear to you. Why did the Buddha say attachment, born of self-delusion, is suffering? You understand. And what is attachment? It's no more the words. It's the exact understanding. Understanding clearly the meaning of attachment, craving, or tanha, etc. All this will become very clear to you. So these are the ways you can develop the awakening and understanding of the Dhamma when you really try it out in the meditation. That's why don't be afraid of emotion or anger. Even when there is fear, stay there, stay with it, and see what happens. It will cease to be. Everything will cease to be. But you have to stay with it, experience it, and go through it. That is the real cultivation. Because it can give rise to realization. As you go through that process. That's why I say you have to be aware at the moment of its arising. Means the phenomenon itself. Is sustained and is passing away. Means at the moment of its arising, sustained and passing away. It means you have to see the moment it arises, stay with it until it passes and cease. At the moment of sense experience, is arising, sustained and passing away. You have to see it there and then with mindfulness. Then only this awakening or insight into phenomena can arise. Means you can insight or awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Becomes very stable and very clear. But without a stable mindfulness, you cannot see all this. Maybe in the form of meditation it's easier, but in the midst of life, which is the real one, you have to have a very stable daily mindfulness. That's why daily mindfulness is a must. There is no way out. There is no other way to awakening. Even for those who do samatha or concentration, thought-based style of meditation, they have to release it out and come out into the daily mindfulness. Otherwise, they cannot develop the awakening. But all the anusaya or latent tendency or mental hindrance, delusion, they are not rooted out as yet. They are all being suppressed because of the energy field, the conditioned state. Without wisdom, you cannot root it out. You cannot develop the understanding to liberate your mind. If you awaken to this Dhamma in one moment, your mind will open to the enlightenment. So this is a Suttapada. This is exactly what I have told you. The moment you understand, you are free. It's not a gradual process. Wisdom is immediate. You have it, means you have it. You don't have it, means you don't have it. It cannot be learned. You cannot learn it. You have to awaken to it. Then go back to the sutta. So if you awaken to this true Dhamma, the true understanding in one moment, the mind will open to enlightenment. It will just cease. Then you will understand. then the direct knowledge and vision of the reality is just that. It's just that means you awaken to what the Buddha had realized. You develop the understanding of it. So the Buddha itself is enlightened. There are four divisions. Opening to the enlightenment knowledge and vision is the first one, meaning your insight into phenomena. Develop the understanding via the direct seeing and awakening. Then the second division is demonstrating the enlightened knowledge and vision. After your insight, you can reflect and contemplate into it to stabilize the understanding until it becomes a part of you. Then you can use it. That's why that is the second division. When you are initially going through it, then later on you stabilize it via reflection contemplation. Means it demonstrates that you have that knowledge and vision. The first one is you just insight into it. Then demonstrating is when you have reflected, contemplated. Then the third one is awakening to the enlightened knowledge and vision. This part is the true awakening. The earlier one is demonstrating, means it show it to you. Then entering the final one, the enlightened knowledge and vision. This one is after you have reflected, contemplated, then it becomes so stable. Then after that, you can teach people. You can share with people. If you don't reach the fourth stage, you cannot teach. You cannot share. You only understand yourself. You are very limited in your ability to express all this. You know what it is. You have awakened to that enlightenment. Or enlightened knowledge and vision, but you have not yet entered the enlightened knowledge and vision. So all these are the various stages that cultivator will go through. Then Huining continue. If you listen to the opening and demonstrating, you can easily awaken and enter. That is the enlightened knowledge and vision, the origin or original true nature becomes manifest. So the explanation is so that the true mind, the true nature, you really have to come into contact with it and realize what it is. Then Huining continued. He gave this advice. Be careful not to misinterpret the sutta. That is what I've been telling you all. By thinking that the opening, demonstrating, awakening, and entering of which it speaks is the Buddha's knowledge and vision. So this one is thought, because these are words. This is knowledge. This is not the real thing. The real thing is when you have realized it. And that we have. And that we have not shared. Sorry, we have no share in it. To explain it that way would be to slander the sutta and defame the Buddha. See the explanation part. You must never use your thought or your mundane mind to express it, since it is already. Sorry, since he is already a Buddha, the sutta continued, perfect in wisdom and virtue or knowledge and vision, what is the use of his opening to it again? You should now believe that the Buddha's knowledge and vision is simply his own mind, for there is no other Buddha. All Buddha nature is the same, oneness nature, the source, the original true nature, before everything arises. But because living beings cover their brilliance with greed and with the love of states of defilements, means your evil roots Your external condition and internal disturbance make slave of them. It means you have become slave to your thoughts, to your own delusion that troubles the world honored one to arise from samadhi. And with various reproaches and expedient means, he exhorted living beings to stop and rest, not to seek outside themselves. See, reverse the light and seek within. And to make themselves the same as he is. That is called opening the knowledge and vision of the Buddha. I too am always exhorting all people to open to the knowledge and vision of the Buddha within their own mind or true nature. Then I explain, the mind of worldly people are deviant, confused, and deluded. They commit offenses. Their speech may be good, but their mind are evil. They are greedy, hateful, envy, or envious. Given over to flattery, deceit, and arrogance. They oppress one another, and harm living beings. Thus they open not the knowledge and vision of the Buddha, but that of living beings. If you can, with an upright mind, constantly bring forth wisdom, contemplating and illuminating your own mind. So in bracket, I explain, see, this is cultivation, mindfulness. Yeah. That's why he said, you have to constantly bring forth wisdom, meaning the understanding via contemplation. That's why I always say nothing frees you except your mind, yeah, with wisdom. Okay, read on. Then use that contemplative understanding to illuminate your mind. You can practice the good and refrain from evil. Means follow the advice of the Buddha with mindfulness. You yourself will open to the knowledge and vision of the Buddha in every thought. See, means ever mindful, is the meaning. You should open up to the knowledge and vision of the Buddha. Do not open up to the knowledge and vision of living being. To be open to the knowledge and vision of the Buddha is transcendental, means you go beyond thought, beyond mind. To be open to the knowledge and vision of living being is mundane, means the mundane mind. If you exert yourself in recitation, clinging to it as a meritorious exercise, means you greed. How does that make you different from a yak who loves his own tail? This is trying to tell Pata, because he thinks by chanting, he has accumulated a lot of merits. They are chanting the Lotus Sutta for so many thousand times. So he said, if you exert yourself in recitation, means very diligently, keep on reciting, and then thinks that you are having a lot of merits. Means you have progress. That is delusion. So clinging to it as a meritorious exercise, thinking that is meditation. How does that make you different from the yana, that left his own tail? Means you are not cultivating, you are wasting your time. Okay, we end here. We are going to the commentary next Sunday. Sadhu. Okay, then I read a bit more. Next Sunday is House Dana by Brother Chin Hao. So we cannot have the class. Then we will wait for the next Sunday. Anybody has any question? Is there anything you want to clarify? Oh yeah, 31st. What day is it? It's a Thursday, which means I will be back by first night. I will be flying off on the 30th night to Alastair. Then the next day, I will be in Hanyai with my family. Yeah. There, I will stay for a night, 31st. And I will fly back on the 1st of September, which is Friday. As the class for next Sunday will be on. You want it to be off, then cancel it. So next two Sunday, no class. No worry. Sister Lee will send out the notice. I will be away on the 30th night. Come back on the 1st September. Okay, any question? Don't have question? Then we will do the sharing of merits. I think this one, we will just quickly run through. Let us recall to mind all the wholesomeness and meritorious action that we have developed over the past 3 hours of sharing. And we will share these merits with all beings, starting with the devas. So the usual chanting, akasata chewa, after, towards the end, we will do it also. Then after we finish, we will have the sharing. Let us pay respect my the Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Okay, good. We finish this book. So now we can have our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation, which is just about right. Now for 12, you can have 3 minutes of toilet break. Then after that, 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. We are off the light. So just relax body and mind. Maintain awareness. Then stabilize the sati. Then after that, use it to meditate, to develop the understanding. For those who already know how to meditate, the last support is trust. Trust your nature to do it. Just stay at the heart area. Don't do anything. Let that sati or mindfulness, awareness nature, detect the gateway and let it move by itself. Okay. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully, more the meditation, then continue to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness you have, that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states that need to be stabilized in the midst of life. Use this mind state to live life. When you have trained your mind become very different. You will have the understanding not to be deluded by the sankhara. They even know how to develop the understanding to make use of whatever sankhara activity for the wholesomeness of all. Cultivating Dhamma is no different from cultivating virtue and wisdom. And without wisdom, there is no virtue. That's why everything about Dhamma cultivation is finally to realize the wisdom. Without wisdom, you cannot free your mind. You cannot liberate your mind. But to realize wisdom, we must use the true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature within. We cannot use the thought. So that's the difference. But to live life, we need thought. And the difference between the two minds, you have to understand. The mundane mind, the true mind. And when you understand the difference between the two, then you can easily meditate. And you can easily distinguish them to use them appropriately. And understanding clearly the conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma, the two must complement each other to enable one to understand truth, reality, and living. Okay, so now we open up for the second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have, or Dhamma sharing in daily life.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Pratyu, and all Kayamita, Sazi. Today, I do the mini YouTube for the retreats. And there's one mini YouTube that I came across, which I think very, very good. In the video, there's one part, and I named the title of "The Surface of the Mind Has to Be Quiet Before You Go into the Subconscious and the
Unconscious.
Really, I mean, I was so sadu about this when I heard about that. So I think perhaps Pratyo can further elaborate on that, because I understand that this is like, it's just like just now when you mentioned about the water, is it?
Hello?
Yeah.
You can speak.
That's right. So it's like on the surface, is it, when you have to be calm first, is it, before you go into the deeper part.
Yeah.
Is it? It's like in the mind state, if you are not clear enough, not silent itself, how could you able to go into that inside, is it? So you have to drain from the outer surface, and then from there go deeper, and from, if you're, it seems, go to the mindfulness, the deeper is it, then you're more easier to detect and go into the inter surface, is it? I mean, sorry, inter deeper inside.
That one is at the retreat, I think day 3 or day 4, day 8, where the second last day, where I share about the deep relaxation and stability of awareness to go in deep into our nature. This one only for those who can do it, those who have the stability or awareness nature, then only you can understand. That's why you need to go into the deep relaxation state until the body really relax. Then it's like suddenly that relaxation is so strong, like that sound you will know, like a lot of I don't know how to describe it, you know, bubble or what. It's like the whole thing, like the bubble or come out or what. Yeah, is that type of relaxation very deep? The whole thing relaxed. Then you feel the entire body like completely relaxed. Then you go in deep. But that one is or cultivator who has stabilized. But what we share today at the last part of this sutta, the Six Patria Platform Sutta, lesson 54, is slightly different. That one is the usual understanding that Jai Krishnamurti tried to share with you all. That one is, you don't have to go to the deep relaxation phase as yet. That one is to understand the superficial mind. The superficial mind is like the word superficial, the conscious state, the one at the surface one, the conscious one. Then to understand the subconscious and the unconscious, which are the deeper one, your superficial mind has to be quiet. Otherwise, you cannot go in on. You have to reach that stability. And just now, what I share about the lake and the sea or the ocean, because in the sea and the ocean, the waves are very strong, because that movement of the water in the sea is different from the one in the lake. In the lake, they are contained. They are contained. But the sea or the ocean, they are actually very vast, very, very vast and not contained. So that one, the movement, the wave can be very strong. Then the weather can be very stormy. So our existence in this world is the same. If we don't have the Dhamma, if we have not trained the mind, then this type of situation can happen. Suddenly, something that causes and conditions arise, and the weather becomes very stormy. And there's a lot of thunder, a lot of what they call rain, heavy downpour, wind. Then the whole of that movement become like very violent. So they call it hurricane sometimes, or they call it bad weather and all those things. So when situation heat, like in time of war, conflict, riot, or deep experience of First Noble Truth reality, the human mind can be caught, and you can be in a very, very stormy condition or situation. So this superficial mind, or the surface mind, or we call it the normal mundane mind, without Dhamma, you will be affected. You will be conditioned. And that movement, you cannot stop. Because you haven't trained your mind. You haven't developed the understanding. But when you have the Dhamma, externally, situation can be very, very stormy or very disruptive or very like fierce. But deep inside, because your nature, your understanding, your Dhamma will protect you. And that one will allow you to stay at the awareness nature. And you will not stir. But it depends on the stability of the cultivator. If the stability of the cultivator and the wisdom of the cultivator is very stable, then whatever storm, whatever happening externally, cannot affect the internal. That is because the cultivator has developed the wisdom, the understanding, the stability or the awareness nature. Then during that time, he can stay there. But under normal time, when this type of cultivator cultivate, they can go into the awareness nature from the superficial when it becomes very quiet, very still. Then they continue to stabilize it. Then the body can rest, like I mentioned just now. The body can rest. But the awareness nature will go in, singing. So when your body rests, it is not active already. The superficial mind or the conscious mind or what they call the mundane mind is no longer active. Where it has starts to settle down into the subconscious and the unconscious. And when you reach the unconscious, you cannot be in the level of conscious living. Understand? The conscious living is when you come out of the unconscious and the subconscious, then you become conscious, where you rested enough already, then the conscious mind surface and make you conscious again. So if you have trained your mind and developed the mindfulness and awareness, then in the midst of life, you can actually develop the daily mindfulness to the stability that you can be aware in the midst of life. Then when you rest or when you silent, you can actually continue with the awareness and let it go in. Then later on, if you want to rest or to sleep, the body will rest and like sleep and develop the subconscious and the unconscious movement. Means the mundane mind like want to switch off, and normal people would have like you will start to go into the sleep. And when you start to go into the sleep, it's just like in the Theravada teaching, the Pali teaching, the mano or the mind, they will sink down back into the what they call there is a word for it. What is that word really? Bhavanga. I think we even know that word, Bhavanga. The mind go back into Bhavanga. So that stream of consciousness, that is the subconscious and the unconscious. You had deep sleep, then the Bhavanga is in a very very deep state. So when you are in deep sleep, without the awareness, I have to explain the two. Without the awareness, it's very difficult to wake that person up. That person, because the infringement of the sense door activity, the sense data onto the sense basis, need to be very strong to wake him up. Otherwise, he will have to wait till he go through the whole sleep until the mind rests enough, sleep enough. Then only he can start to receive external stimulant and slowly wake up. Or a very strong one, he like hear a bit, like hear a bit, then like didn't hear, not sure because not fully conscious. Then it may wake him up. It may wake him up. But most of the time in deep sleep, they will not wake up until they have rested enough. The second one is the cultivator one. You can go in together with the awareness nature. I went in before in the early days when I was cultivating. I was fully aware. Then how you go into the subconscious, and I saw the subconscious release, dreamlike. Then into the deep unconscious, the body completely rests. Like completely rests. The snoring and everything rests. But the awareness is there. And the dream state, whatever subconscious release, unconscious release, to free or whatever they call the trapped phobia and all those things, or the that subconscious or unconscious fear that you accumulate inside that one, you can see it releasing to develop order in the brain structure and all those things. So that phase is very interesting. But this one, very difficult. Very, very few people can do. That's why Krishnamurti said, for you to be aware of the deeper layer of mind, which is referring to the subconscious and the unconscious, your superficial mind must be quiet. You will read appendix. Our Heart Sutta, the appendix, is described inside that. I explain the thing. But what I explain today is the actual understanding of a cultivator who go through all this. So this type of understanding, you cannot find in books. You have to go through it. So if you are fully aware and going, then you can see the subconscious release and the unconscious release. So this can be your trap, phobia, fear, or whatever, or insecurity, or whatever thing you want to clear on. You can see it clearing. Then if you have some form of awareness or mindfulness, even you cannot go in. When you wake up, you can also know that from the dreams that you can recall or recollect, you know that these are subconscious release. I remember in the early days, I think most people experience are the normal ones. If you have gone to the university or whatever, you still dream that you haven't passed your exam. That one is a very normal and very common one. But later on, as you cultivate, you develop better understanding. Then you realize when you are in the deep sleep, the subconscious and the unconscious release that phobia, sometimes can be childhood or what, that keep on coming and haunt you on. They will surface as dream and release out. Like I remember in the early days, there were incidents where I want to make it a point that I will not lose my purse or whatever. And because of that, unknowingly, I accumulated that thing. Then for one period, that subconscious and unconscious release to dreamer, every time I dream, I lost my purse. Then later on, I understood that these are the subconscious release. Then I reflected, I contemplated, then I realized through wisdom, you can root it out on. Because these are reality, no need to fear. If you want to make sure all this doesn't happen, then you develop mindfulness, awareness, to recall where you put them and all those things. Then if it's important, like nowadays, our handphones are so important, because a lot of information is there, you lose it, it can be a hassle. And your purse that has all your IC, credit card, nowadays, not only credit card, you got a lot of important documents, of course, apart from the money. But most people will tell you they don't bring much money on, because nowadays, you can use card and, to pay your e-wallet. But they realize that trouble that one have to go through when you lose them, like your driving license, you have to renew them. And it wastes you a lot of time. Then you realize nowadays, without the handphone, without the IC, a lot of things you cannot do. You got money, also no use. The bank will not allow you to withdraw. Your identity is compromised, affected. And you have to wait till your document come back to you. Then when your phone is been like stolen or lost, you have to go and report to actually deactivate the SIM or whatever. Otherwise, people can actually use up a lot of your funds in your home. Because your phone, sometimes most people, they put their, what they call, username and password. It's like, it's recorded in your phone or no, without you knowing it or no. So when you click on the thing come out, then you can go in already or no, especially e-wallet. So if you don't go and cancel and report all these are still active. And people who know how to scam, they will scam. So of course, most people will develop the fear, the worry about losing all these things. Then this will be accumulated as the subconscious and unconscious fear, no? Especially things that are dear to you, important to you, and you give meaning and emphasis, then you will develop unnecessary attachment, clinging, grasping, and you hold on to it and you worry about it getting lost. But this is what the thought do, understand? Then later on, when I saw all this in my subconscious and unconscious release, then I contemplated, I developed the understanding, and I straightened my view, because the reality is, truth is, as I live, need to be understood and live. And when you have all those understanding, then I realize all these are rooted out, no more, gone. Then my understanding starts to go deeper and deeper and deeper. Then I see a lot of things like very clear. The sankhara cannot develop the delusion to cause one to develop all these unnecessary phobia and fear and like insecurity or like, although they are just words, you have to be very careful because it go in very fast, very, very fast. So to be able to go in to the subconscious and the unconscious to see them and to insight into all this happening, then when you come out of it, that's why during the early day after I have the ability, I saw all this. That's why I always give you a pointer to always ask yourself. Initially, when you develop mindfulness that time, you can see your thought. Then you realize, why this thought, not other thought? That one is the beginning. Because that thought that arises are the one that you haven't cleared. Means the unfinished problem, manasana. You haven't resolved it. It's still haunting you, disturbing you, worrying you. That's why all this thought can become very, what they call, compulsive, intrusive. Because they keep on coming, they will haunt you. And you caught in that cocoon for too long, you enter depression. That's how you will enter depression. That's why I saw all this in the early days. Then I start to understand, because that thought, which don't have any of this one, actually cannot arise on, because thought is respond to memory. From memory, come on. Yeah. Then sometimes when you are able to go into the deep sleep because of your mindfulness and your awareness training and your heart area open up, transform already, then you realize at one stage, the subconscious release and all things are like initially is not connected one. That subconscious release, it's not like a normal dream that is connected one. It's not connected one. It just released like that, released like that. Then it's gone. It's like clear a lot of this thing that is inside there. Then your brain develops differently. Then that brain become like order. What Krishnamurti means is order. There is order inside that brain. That brain no longer in disorder. Disorder means what? Like a country, like a nation, when there is no law and order, what happens? It's like free for all. People do what they like. Then they rob. They take advantage of. Then, like in the early days, I think the snatch thief have a field day. Understand? Then robber. So certain country you go very unsafe. So there is no law and order. That's why there is riots. There is problems everywhere. Theft, and scam and all those things. So when you lack order, society, all these type of things come in. So our brain is the same. When the brain lack order, means there is a lot of negativity of mind state, greed, hatred, and delusion, the wrong thought, are everywhere, causing severe suffering, tormenting living beings. So your own brain, without order, you cannot live life. You become very troubled and become very heedless. So this is what Krishnamurti mean by the mind, the brain must have order. Order means you have the Dhamma. You understand the nature's law. You will not violate the nature's law. That's why when there is order, you cannot simply do things really. Then there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety. Think it's just the way it is. You take care of karma, karma take care of your life. You have that understanding. That faith, the right view is there. That everything that arises, like the Buddha said, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions, the Buddha has already explained to us, because we are all born of our karma, and to our karma condition and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of. So you have to have this right view, this understanding, to actually give you the ability to understand life, thereby enabling you to live life. So if you can accept this reality about law of karma, because the fifth daily contemplation, every day you have to contemplate, is very important. If we are all born of karma, heir to our karma condition and support our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. So whatever that happened in life cannot be otherwise. It has to be related to karma. So if it's karma, depend on your ability to be mindful, aware, sensitive. If it's something severe, like cultivated all the way, even in BTL, or no, Alicia, no, straight away they will ask for forgiveness, because they know this is something from the past. Then sometimes I can see the sign, my nature can detect coming already. Otherwise, it won't happen. It's the sign is what you should have as a cultivator, to be sensitive, to be aware. Because when we know all this, we know it's coming. So we have to do what we have to do. You need to ask for forgiveness, yeah, to break the karmic obstruction or to reverse the process. Then you do it. Yeah. Then you have to determine not to repeat all this and not to allow all this to manifest. So you continue to stabilize your cultivation. Then you radiate goodness. Then you apply power of merits, invoke power of merits for turnaround. Yeah. So wisdom can actually develop all this understanding to free, to prevent the form and mind from going through the process. That's why karma is such, I came to know, my nature came to know. The moment you understand it has no power over you, it ceases to be. It reverses itself and completely gone. No more. Yeah, I was tested many times, yeah, during the early days when I was facing it, because I was very near to awakening that time. So it keep on showing it to me, testing me and showing to me. Then the moment I understand the whole thing reversed, the moment I understand the whole thing reversed, the moment I did the three things, the whole thing reversed. That's how my nature come to know all this understanding. And mainly it's from my past cultivation. Otherwise, this life, I didn't learn all this. How can my nature understand all this? It was from the past. So this superficial mind, the subconscious and the unconscious, and the depth of the nature, all these are very interesting cultivation and topic that the cultivator of the way will slowly develop understanding as you go through the cultivation. So we should thank Jinhao for the condition that he brought up, because he is doing the short video. That's why he came across a lot of this type of thing. So the short video are very useful. They have a lot of sharing which you may not understand now, unless you are the cultivator who has reached certain stage where you can like figure it out. Somehow you know this is beautiful and useful. And then you will listen attentively. That's why it depends on the cultivator. You have the causes and condition, then you can understand. It will benefit you. Otherwise, you will not know what it is. So cultivator of the way, when you listen to Dhamma, you have to have the understanding that Dhamma is for all levels. How much you can receive and how much you can comprehend or understand depend on your cultivation. If you have not developed the cultivation, there is very limited amount of understanding that you can develop out of it. But this one needs causes and conditions. And the causes and conditions is, of course, your own heedfulness cultivation, the spiritual faculty, leading to the stability of the inner awareness, leading to heedfulness. And all this, the process of transformation or cultivation or evolution or what they call realization, it takes a long time, but the process is very long. And there are so many steps involved. As you clear one, there is some more. And the Dhamma door is unending, because like the sainthood way itself is already a very big topic. Then when you move on to the Bodhisattva way, it's another very big topic. And the Bodhisattva way really is very, very long. And that cultivation and transformation is very extensive. Way beyond the sainthood way. Oh, very, very extensive. Then later on, as you develop all this understanding, as you go through all it, then you realize, oh, it can be so beautiful. And how can someone come up with this style of understanding involving eons and eons and eons of birth and death and cultivation? That's why the so-called Buddhist teaching, the Dhamma, is not a philosophy or a way of life that people simplify it as. No, this teaching is developed by the Sammasambuddha perfectly, the fully enlightened one, not only enlightened, fully enlightened, I mean complete in wisdom and virtue, after realizing that extent of perfection, cultivation and realization, then only they can come back and send this teaching down to the conditioned world to allow living beings to have this ability to cultivate, to realize the same wisdom, perfection, realization as what they have gone through, even though it's very long. That's why as we go through the Mahayana Sutta, the wonderful Lotus Sutta, Mianfa Dianhua Jing, wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutta, and also the earlier one, Wu Liang Yi Jing, and also the three chapters of the Wu Liang Yi Jing. Then later on, we still have the other sutta to go through. All this, they are very, very beautiful in the sense that the Sammasambuddha, after they have developed their understanding, when there is condition during their last phase of their coming as a Sammasambuddha, they will teach all this. That's why you look at Sakyamuni Buddha, why he passed away at the age of 80 compared to a lot of his disciples, 120. He could not enough rest. He need to teach not only the humans, he need to teach the demons, the non-humans. And all these teachings, he need to cover them extensively and during those periods. That's why he got not enough rest. But he did his part. Understand? And because of what he did, he was able to have all this teaching taught. Then, as the sasana continued to evolve and develop, a lot of these that were like taught slowly, slowly over the ages of time, it starts to like manifest into the world. That's why although he came 2,600 over years ago, when technology, everything was very backward, but the teaching was all there. Then later on, it will evolve because cultivator of the way, the Bodhisattva, the great beings, they keep on coming. And as they come, whatever teaching that is recorded, they don't need explanation. The moment they hear, they understand. Then they teach differently, like this line. Although I'm English educated, I'm not Mandarin educated. But all the Mahayana Sutta, the moment I hear it, I understand what it is. And I can teach and I can share. Basically, how can this be possible? Because I'm English educated. Yeah. And although born within the Chinese family, my family has got no Dhamma understanding behind. My parents were simple people. basic Chinese. Yeah, they follow Chinese tradition more. Of course, they have their culture. Yeah, 5,000 over years of Chinese culture, the DNA, everything. That one they have. But the Dhamma was not with them, because during the era of the communism, the teaching was like affected. Even during the 60s, the Cultural Revolution, a lot of the teaching was destroyed. But some, they managed to keep it. Then later on, when modern China, after 1980 surfaced, they no longer do those things. That's why now a lot of the teaching can be preserved. And they also restore society's good things, virtue and all those things. So these are the causes and conditions that will continue to evolve, and we should actually count our good blessings, because for us to have such condition to receive these teachings, to be born as a human being, is really, really rare. That's why I already hinted to you, no matter what it is, you have your causes and conditions from the past. You are unique beings. Otherwise, you cannot have the causes and conditions to be born a human being and listening to all these teachings and all this sharing. The only other factor that you need to determine is how serious are you, whether you truly understand how fortunate and blessed you all are. And if you know all this, and you still refuse to make use of this golden window, by the time the former mind is gone, it's too late already. You have to determine now, affirm, plant the seed of Bodhi, go the Bodhisattva way, then make full use of that yellow card, the Bodhisattva vow, the yellow card that I teach you. Once you determine to have all those understanding, then plant the seed of Bodhi to go that way, means all of your future coming, you already established them. And you only need to be sincere, have faith, and persevere to continue this cultivation and training. Then everything will fall into place. Okay? So with this, I think I'll end. Then we let Jin Hao continue. Okay.
Yeah, Sadhu Bharatiya. For the past 2 weeks, sister, I'm really grateful to Sister Po Ching, because she has been always encouraged me. You see?
Yeah.
And the last one that she mentioned was that she say cultivations, you cannot give up in the halfway.
Mm-hmm.
It's like experiments, you see, where you use the stick to rub the grass and the rock, you see. Not until the fire came out, or you cannot just let go, you see.
The spark.
Yeah.
That trigger of the fire. Because you have to reach that stability. Without that spark, you cannot see the fire. Means without that insight, the awakening, without touching your nature, you cannot be complacent. Otherwise, you wasted your time. You work towards it so hard. Then before the spark arises, you give up. So to cultivate all the way, who understand is it? What a waste. You are almost there. That's why the first spark is very important, very difficult. But that is the beginning, understand? Like the famous saying, I don't know whether it was Kong Zi or Lao Zi. A thousand what? Start with the first step in the end. Whatever you want to journey, you have to start in the first step. In the first step, you don't get it right, you will never get it right. But the first step is the one that condition you to reach the final. That's why that determination to go that way is very important. But of course, the first step will never see anything. But it is a very important step because this is the Bodhi mind that you planted in the sadhana. That first step that you take, if it's the Bodhi mind that you have planted, then this one will keep on nurturing, keep on manifesting life after life, and you will continue to go this way because you have planted that seed of Bodhi very, very deep and stable. Yeah. So this is good. Huh?
And also, I'd like to thanks Sister Lee also, Miss Lee. So you also called me. She said that one of the problems that she and I we have was because we practiced the thought meditations before, you see? Yeah. And she said that Brahmacharya one is different. So you cannot have the conditioned mind to look for the methods,
yeah,
and technique, which we were so used to, because whenever we went for the meditation, we will ask for the method and technique. Mm-hmm. And if you use that conditioned mind state to look for Brahmacharya's meditations, you will be totally wrong, you see. Mm-hmm. And that is really a very good advice, you see, because Brahmacharya's method is, there's no method. You have to really start from the clean state, whereby you undo what you have learned and develop the sati, you know, stabilize the sati.
Assume you don't know anything. With a clean slate, you start. You find out for yourself. Yeah. Yeah. Because that clean slate is very important. Whatever people tell you, you have to investigate and find out. If you don't investigate and find out, you cannot realize the truth. You only believe, and that becomes knowledge. Yeah. That's why awareness is not a knowledge. And awareness, you cannot learn. You have to understand. To be aware, you must have no thought. And how can living being, which is a creature of thought, has no thought? You remember last time I wrote an essay in Lower Six? My teacher got a shock after he read that thing. He said, rather deeply thought out. I start off by, at that time, I really know. We think a lot. I say, human being is a creature of thought. We think a lot. And we are a gregarious being. I even come up with that word, no, gregarious. You know what is gregarious? We need companion. We need friend. So a creature of thought, gregarious being, that time it was so clear to me. I was in Lower Six only. Then to me, my university education, or Form 6 education, is a stepping stone to the university education. And to me, that is the beginning of true understanding of life. No? Because I realized my senses, my maturity, and my thinking, everything, I mature after Form 5. Then Form 6 was 2 good years for me, because Form 6 I studied that general paper, which is very good. It's about understanding, we call it one, critical thinking, and don't know what. There is one book on it, very good. On don't believe anything, critical thinking, and don't know what, I forgot it. It's a very good book. So I analyzed myself, then I realized the living being think a lot at that time. That time I don't know how to meditate. But I know how to use that topic. I know how to concentrate, focus. I can study very well. I can concentrate on something like study or whatever, the topic that I like, especially maths and science, geography. My mind is very different. I can go in. That's why the first day I went to uni, I met Kesri Ramananda, the first Dhamma talk. Straight away, I went back that night. I meditate without knowing what is meditation, and I went into it. So all this is from your past. Without your past, you can't. And all this, you have to start from a clean slate. I have to admit, I don't understand. When I say I don't understand, means I am trying to develop understanding. But when you say you already know, you cease to learn already. Do you understand? You know already, your cup is full. How to teach you? How to encourage you to learn? That's why Krishnamurti said the most dangerous person in this world is the one that say, I know. What is there to know? Every aspect of knowing is from the memory. And what is memory? Memory is of the past, knowledge accumulated. All of your knowing is knowledge, not wisdom. That's why spiritual understanding is about wisdom, not about knowing. Knowing cannot free you. Knowledge cannot free you. Understanding free you. When I understand, it's not rigid. I'm free. Because I understand what is going on. I don't want to know. What is there to know? All knowing comes from thought. So when I don't want to know, I got no thought. Then I realize that nature. I realize that true mind. The silent mind. And that is what meditation is all about. That's why Sister Lee also slowly came to understand all this. Yeah. And I realize those who actually progress fast on are the one that is very simple one. Don't have conditioning from the past one. Or some with the conditioning, but they have faith in my words. Like Ingby, despite the conditioning, she has faith in my word. And she tried. Then she, when she saw that thing, like conforming to her investigative understanding, then she saw how she can develop the understanding and how I connect and link the whole essential teaching of the Theravada. Because to link all the essential teaching is not easy. And when everything falls into place, then I can explain it in the manner that is related to the living Dhamma, not knowledge, thought-based type of Dhamma. That one cannot free the mind on. That one is not practical. Cannot live life. So all this understanding, people who have the affinity, the past, they will see and they will understand. That's why everyone is different. Even Manyuan is different, PG is different, Miss Lee is different. Then, I mean, they are all different. Then, Chipotle also different. But there are some who have the affinity and they can move very fast, like Alicia, they all. So, these are people who are very serious and they have the faith. That's why a lot of these people, they can develop the understanding and the cultivation actually develop and evolve and become very beautiful. So this part, what Jinhao is sharing is very good. Okay, almost six already. I let Jinhao summarize what he wants to share.
That's why I say Kayamita Trip is very, very important because it keeps on encouraging us along the way. Apart from what we have heard from Brother Tews, you see, so the Kayamita Trip is very, very important. I think that's all for my sharing for today.
Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu. Okay, so we can do the closing puja now. Let us rejoice in all the wholesomeness that we have developed today. And we should share all this with all the beings, starting with the devas. Akasata Chyavumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakhantu Lokasasana Itta Vata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabasampati Siddhiya Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hetuja. Pito bhavatu lokoja. Raja Bhavatu Dhammiko, อิมินาปุญญังกามินามามิบาลาสมากโมสัตตังสมากโมโหตุยาวานิวานาปาติยาสาธุสาธุสาธุ Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we will end the whole Zoom session. Thank you so much for all the participation. Sadhu.